magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, July 19th, 2017. Typically on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, I'm joined by my Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo. But in light of yesterday's special broadcast, a tribute to Sarah Lynn Graham, and you heard portions of her celebration of life service as shared this past Saturday, June 15th at the Vineyard Church, Aaron had contacted me. We met up on Monday afternoon, sat down and had a late lunch, and then he joined me in the studio and we recorded about a 20-25 minute program, which I'll air right now in its entirety. And if you missed yesterday's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, and you'll also find today's edition of Mark and Friends. But I love how Sarah's celebration of life service impacted so many, including me, and I think you'll draw many life lessons from my conversation with Aaron as he continues to hold on to the promises of God that he's living without regret, overcoming that tendency to live superficially, sinking anchors deep into God's Word, understanding God's sovereignty, knowing that blessed be the name of the Lord. Here's my conversation in its entirety as recorded Monday afternoon. Hard to figure out which direction I want to go with this, Aaron, in light of our conversation, in light of our prayer time, in light of the unique work that I believe God's doing in and through you, the blessing you've been to me. In fact, on yesterday's program, I shared that we had a conversation the other day. And I don't know, you probably didn't catch it, but when we first started talking, I said, so how's it going? And I felt so bad even saying that because it's like, gosh, what a trite kind of flippant kind of thing that we say to each other in light of all that's been going on in your life. But you were so graceful. And then I shared on yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends that you started recounting how you felt prayed up and cared for, and how the family of God, your own family, friends, people that you've known for a long time that have surrounded you and loved on you. And I shared yesterday that there was a chance that maybe you'd be available for today's edition of Mark and Friends, but I marveled at the maturity in your faith. You're 33, soon to be 33, or just 33, right?
At the end of June. Just turned 33, yeah.
Okay, just turned 33, and I think you were even sharing off air that that's got you thinking about Jesus and being 33 and his ministry work. And there are just so many facets of things that you've shared with me at the memorial service, Sarah's homegoing. It was a celebratory service. It was, I don't even know how to say it. Anyone that was there, I think, felt the same way. It's like, wow, God, you spoke through Aaron, through Randy, through the other guests, through the testimonies of Sarah's parents. They were read by two other individuals.
No, they actually read them themselves. Oh. That was amazing.
Oh, that was them reading them?
That was them reading them.
Oh, because on the program it said
they weren't sure they were going to make it through.
Oh.
And at the 11th hour, Steve said, I really, you know, he's a pastor himself
for
the AG, and he said, you know, I really feel like God is calling us to read these words that God has given us about our daughter ourselves. And amazingly, he and Karen were able to stand up there and actually give the words about their daughter.
Okay. And I had not met them, but I thought, wow, how powerful, and I'm glad they found some capable people to read them. Well, very capable. It was them.
Exactly.
Your message, I was convicted. I was reminded of God's love. I was reminded of his sovereignty. I've said this a number of times on the air, and you and I think we resonate the same heartbeat. Either God is sovereign or he's not, and he does have a permissive will, and tragedies do happen, circumstances happen that aren't always according to our plans, various things. But he's either sovereign or he's not. And maybe from that framework, because you have felt his sovereignty and you have made some choices, and yet you're really grounded in his goodness. And for our listener that's now, who is Aaron Graham and what's going on, maybe take us through the last few weeks of your life. And then maybe we'll even have a little time, some of that testimony on how your mom, Debbie Graham, who everyone who knows Debbie loves her, Debbie and Randy Graham with Curtis Orchard, and they know of probably Debbie's dad, Paul, and knew of Joyce from Curtis Orchard. Joyce is also with the Lord now. But we'll see how we kind of navigate through these waters. But thank you for such wonderful prayer time with me moments ago and being available to share even even though you're in the midst of this, like, okay, God, where are you going to direct me? And yet you're also feeling very strongly he wants you to encourage the body of Christ and encourage anyone that's maybe on the fence of accepting Jesus. And so take us through the last few weeks of your life.
Yeah. We had been planning to be part of this cousin's reunion. Sarah, my wife, had been really, really gung-ho about it. I'd been kind of like, well, take it or leave it. We had some things going on that had sort of precluded us from accepting right away, but she really, 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 really wanted to go. And I finally said, okay, we'll make it work.
And this is other family members that are all cousins in your extended family.
Correct.
And some reason these cousins wanted to all gel and get together in Colorado.
Correct. They're all first cousins of my wife. And last year, around this time, around July 4th, their patriarch had passed away, and he had kind of been the glue of the family. And the cousins, the youngest generation, had said, well, you know, we don't want to just drift apart. We want to be intentional about this. We want that to be his legacy, mm-hmm. that we still get together. We have this common bond of faith, common love of family. And so that's what they did. And last year was the first year they did it around Labor Day, mm-hmm. and we weren't able to make it because of Joyce's homecoming.
Yeah.
And so we had made it intentional. We'll try to be there this year. This year they had picked beautiful Snowmass, Colorado. Mm-hmm. Nobody lives there. People ask, who lives in Colorado? I said, we all had to drive. We all had to drive, and it was actually in Snowmass, is right outside of Aspen. Mm. It's beautiful. It's about 8,000 to 9,000 feet, and this house was just an amazing house. And we arrived there kind of late. We had been driving from Illinois. We'd stopped off in Kansas City. That's where her brother is. He goes to World Revival Church. He's got his ministry degree through there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he met us within about, this is a first God sighting.
Right.
He met us about 30 seconds after we got into the parking lot of the place we were staying. And it happened to be like a block and a half from where he works. Mm. We're walking in. It's kind of tired. Sarah says, should we go swimming or not? I don't really want to. And I said, you know, it's been a long day. Why don't we just do that? And it turned out that us going swimming meant Dad and the kids go swimming. Mm. And I looked up, and Sarah and her brother Stephen were sitting on the bench just having a one-on-one time. And I felt a pause in my spirit down there. I shouldn't say anything. I should just let this play out. Mm. And I talked to Stephen really soon after Sarah's passing, and I said, you remember that night? And, of course, we both knew that night.
Right.
I said, I felt even at the time it was a God moment. And he said, I did too, and now...
Yeah.
He said it was so God-ordained because they'd always been close as siblings, but any time you live 7 hours away from somebody, there's going to be some natural distance that just sort of develops just because. And so this was a time to really reconnect. They were sharing their goals and their hopes and dreams and where God was leading them. And I didn't feel right about interrupting that, mm-hmm. and I'm so glad I listened to that leading, you know. So that was our first God sighting. Then we had the fun trek. This would have been on the 2nd, all the way across Kansas and Kansas and more Kansas,
yeah.
all the way to Colorado Springs. And, you know, I didn't really think of it at the time, but I remember we were midway through Kansas. It was hot. It was 90-plus degrees. And driving along the interstate, and I look up, and there's this black sign with white lettering, billboard, that says, if you died today, where would you spend eternity? And, you know, as a Christian, I look at that and go, okay, wow, somebody's really being bold for Christ. That's amazing. And that's as far as it goes, right. you know. And now that I come back, I'm like, man, was that a God sign literally or not, you know? And there wasn't any doubt in my mind for Sarah. She's been a solid Christian since she was 4, as her mom shared at the memorial service.
Mm-hmm.
And she really did. You know, it's like her dad said. I love the analogy he said, where you can hand the torch off, but it's off to your kids to take it up.
Right.
And that's so true. And you saw that in her in thousands of ways. And I think that one of the biggest testimonies is she was very much a behind-the-scenes person. She was not loud in volume,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have to be loud in volume. Right. She was deep in her faith, and she would rather be a behind-the-scenes person. In fact, like they said, this memorial service, she would have been embarrassed to be the center of attention.
Right.
She would much rather be behind the scenes, She loved serving her kids. And now that I see that, I see all of the fingerprints of how she was just being faithful to Jesus. And
there's probably a number of our listeners that have been over to Curtis Orchard the last few years,
correct.
And she kind of oversaw the projection of some of the purchases through the, what's your gift store?
Her title was product manager. She managed about 100 lines of vendors inside our country store. And, you know, that's been a blessing to be back at the store, but it's made it 10,000 times harder, because everywhere I look, I see her. I see her fingerprints. She loved design. She loved that sort of aspect of this life where she was, you know, very much an HGTV person. You know, she loved Crate and Barrel. In fact, you know, whenever we'd talk about movies, she'd say, well, if there's a Crate and Barrel there, then we'll go, because that was her kind of inspiration just for taking the store beyond where it had been and really making it her own sort of tribute to what the Orchard meant to her. And so it's been a blessing to be around there, and it's been very, very hard. But that was her main role, was the ordering and product placement and strategizing for the next year and what worked well, what didn't work well. You know, she really had a head for numbers. She'd gotten her business degree, had been really passionate about that. And, you know, anybody who says, oh, I can't do that, I've got too much on my plate, I always say, well, you know, my wife did it. She got married in that time. She had two kids during that time, and she still managed to get her degree. So it's really what you have put your mind to that you're able to accomplish.
And as you make it to Colorado Springs, you have your children, so 7, 5, and 2.
Actually, the two-year-old, and this was another God-ordained thing, we decided we're going to leave her with Nana and Papa, with Steve and Karen, her parents, because she would have been the youngest, and we had a lot planned that weekend, that week, everything from potentially horseback riding to whitewater rafting to hiking. And we just thought, you know, we want to all be able to enjoy that. We don't want to be, okay, who's going to watch Ava? When this happened, you know, we'd been beating ourselves up as parents, saying, well, you know, would your parents do that? No, my parents wouldn't do that. They would have taken us all on it. And we kind of beat ourselves up. But when this happened, one of my first praises was, at least I know her little daughter, littlest daughter, is being watched by loving parents, you know, of hers, and just was in a safe place, was happy, was protected from this, was not another worry that I had to deal with. And that's what we see throughout this whole thing. We see that although there's a lot of pain, and I'm not going to minimize the pain that I've been going through, or that all of the other people that loved Sarah have been going through, it is pain. It's pain because, like my dad shared, there's a Sarah-shaped loss that, you know, Sarah as her unique self really filled, and nobody else can fill completely. But, you know, she loved Jesus first and foremost, and I know that Jesus loves us, and Jesus loved her, and that's what we've been clinging to in these times, you know.
And I think you were saying while you were out there, here you were surrounded by family from the moment you found Sarah.
That's right.
And people praying. I think one of your cousins or one of the persons there said, let's start singing some hymns. And you referenced it as well being something that God reminded you of because of that whole Horatio Spafford message.
Story, yeah. We'd just been out to Odyssey in Colorado Springs the day before. And it's interesting how God uses certain moments to sort of draw things out. And I remember hearing Dan, when he was performing CPR, he said, you know, get Aaron downstairs. And, you know, what was amazing was that my kids didn't see anything. They were surrounded by the young cousins who brought them downstairs, loved on them, prayed with them during this whole time for mommy. They got them breakfast and fed them that. And they were cared for immediately. They got them out and downstairs, and the other cousins, so this would have been Hannah and Angie and Elizabeth, the wives of the husbands, they walked me out onto the porch, and, you know, it was an unfairly beautiful scene, as I've said before, where these beautiful mountains and everything, and, yeah, one of the cousins just knelt down and said, do you want to start singing hymns? And I was, yes, you know, we're going to pray for this, because I said, I'm gonna hope until they tell me it's all over, and we just started singing It Is Well and As the Deer and In the Garden and Amazing Grace and A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And these are all that common theme, you know, our common shared faith, where they just take on a new meaning. You know, that bulwark never failing suddenly becomes literally that bulwark never failing. And I shared with you, Mark, how I was walking around Denver. This is about 2 days later, where we had decided to take a slow trek home. My dad had flown out that evening and was with me that night. And we were grieving together and trying to get sleep and doing some more grieving and just sharing, even in the midst of the pain, mm-hmm. God's promises. But we eventually made it to Denver, and it turned out my friend from ages back who lives in North Dakota happened to be visiting family near Denver and drove down. We walked around Coors Stadium, and for 4.5 hours we just shared. And I said, you know, Stephen, that was his name, as many times that you have sunk yourself into his word, that's as many anchors as he's able to draw out. And I said, my mind has just been exploding with his promises. And I said, you should see my YouVersion app because it's highlighted on top of highlights with just his promises. I mean, even when I was out there and I was looking at the mountains, that was what brought me, you know, why so downcast my soul? Why so hopeless within me? I look to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And it was just seeing that realized in a literal mountain that brought that. But, you know, the first words that I shared with you, Mark, mm-hmm. the first words that came to my mind when the EMT came down and said, it's all over, she's gone. That was a moment I never wanted to hear, mm-hmm. you know, and there's been a lot of moments I never wanted to experience over this past week. I never wanted to have to pick out her coffin or her clothes or have to say my wife's funeral. I said, I hate even saying that, mm-hmm. my wife's funeral or mommy's funeral. But I said, in that moment, just came like it was emblazoned across the sky, the words from Job that say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And I almost didn't get that last part out, but I said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's true. You know, in these moments, we're not only confronted with our mortality. I mean, it was literally almost like the rapture passage. We don't have all the answers from the autopsy at this point. Mm-hmm. We don't. We're praying for those. But we do know one thing from the initial report and from what the other EMTs said. We do know that it was quick, like seconds, and painless. And mm-hmm. I had been agonizing, as you do in those moments where I said, you know, look, you know, I was in bed, in comfortable bed, and here she was, you know, away from me, and she was just on the floor, and, you know, and I was very, very torn up about it. And one of the cousins again held my hand, and she said, look, you can't do that. She said, that's not Sarah. Right. That's just what she left behind. And to just hear that there are many, as I probably shared on Saturday, there are many really bad ways to exit this life. There are. There are painful, horrible ways, too many to name. You know, that's part of the thank you, Adam. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, but this was not one of them. You know, first of all, it says precious in his sight are the death of his saints. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, I just think of in that moment, in the twinkling of the eye, you think he took her from this broken world. I just have this picture of this, just the loving arms of Jesus just wrapping around her and just taking her home. And, you know, and when we look from heaven's perspective, and I was talking, I think, with my son, I said, you know, Ben, I'm really praying for heaven's perspective in these moments. And I just had this picture of her arriving and the whole place just erupting. Mm-hmm. Another saint is home. She's home, you know, and from that perspective, it's a victory. It's like I shared in church where it's not a tragedy. I've had so many people tell me it's a tragedy. And you know what? I understand what they're saying. And I understand, like you said, you know, what a dumb thing to say about, you know, how are you doing? But I think sometimes as humans, we just want to fill the void. We want to fill the silence. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. You get a pass on that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it truly is not a tragedy. It truly is a victory. As hard as that is for me to say, I mean, I would love to have her back. I mean, we were truly best friends. We had a very, very good relationship. I loved her more than words can say. But at the same time, I'm so happy, so thankful that she loved Jesus more. And that's the right perspective to have. And, you know, I am so honored that I got X number of days to walk my faith out with her. She made me such a much better Christian. She challenged me in so many ways, in a good way. You know, that iron sharpening iron, the two are better than one, all of those passages. She was a true disciple to me and to her kids. And that's what we're hoping for. You know, her cousins created that website, SarahLynnGraham.com, to just share memories so that my kids will never forget who their mom was and her witness and her legacy of faith and her quirks and the things that made her her.
Right.
And, you know, I could go on and on talking about how great Sarah was, but I'm just so honored to have been her husband. And, you know, if I had known ahead of time that it would end so quickly, it'd be a pause. Mm. But I'm so grateful that I got the chance to be part of her life, and I'm so honored. I told Steve, her dad, I said, thank you so much for allowing me to marry your daughter and be part of your family.
Well, I know one of the many takeaways when you talked about God's sovereignty and, you know, she's in a better place, but that doesn't minimize how I'm feeling, the hurt. And yet you also said, you know, I could choose to be angry and upset and bitter. And yet you said, because of the Lord's love, I'm going to choose to recognize that he drew her home. It was her time. And you're not going to live second guessing or questioning or what if I would have done this or what if we would have done this, not living in regret, but celebrating the wonderful years that you had with her and the testimony that will live on through you, through your children, through the friends and family members. And that's what I marveled at. So many people said to know Sarah was to love Sarah.
Amen.
And yet you're going to continue to say, okay, Lord, allow this experience to bring healing or maybe hope to somebody that's wrestling with these same things. And so maybe in our closing minute or two, how could you pray for that person that's troubled at heart? Maybe they went through something similar. Or that person that's entertaining, maybe there is a good God out there, but why do these things happen in people's lives? Or maybe that senior saint that says, wow, Aaron, I really think you're modeling for me how I need to handle certain things. Maybe giving some hope to those people that are tuned in now.
I don't have all the answers, obviously, but your words brought to mind a hymn we sang on the deck when all of this was happening. Mm. And it's got the refrain, "And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace." And, you know, some people don't know how to deal with grief, and I don't think we're all perfect at it, but some people have said some kind of dumb things about, you know, oh, she's looking over your shoulder or something like that. And, you know, I'm not going to comment on a theological standpoint, but I do know she is in the very presence of God. And, you know, I was praying on Sunday. Actually, this is the first Sunday we were back. We were praying, and I just had this amazing sense that here is the Jesus I'm praying to, that I've prayed to my whole life, and she's standing right in front of him. And in some sort of spiritual sense, but a literal spiritual sense, if we can use that word, I'm standing in the throne room, and she is standing in that throne room too. And for those who were on the inner circle and ever heard her beautiful voice that she was very embarrassed about, you know that she is singing in such a beautiful voice that she had. And the one thing that I would take away from it that I have tried to also live without regret but learn from this is to stop living such a superficial life. Mm. To stop living the superficial life that says, oh, I got to have the latest, or I've got to see the latest, or whatever the latest is. Stephen, her brother, has a saying he loves from Leonard Ravenhill that says, Lord, stamp eternity on our eyeballs. And I don't know if it's the eyeballs part or what, but there's something that always struck me with that. And I thought, you know, if there can be any small measure of grace in this, I pray that I especially can have eternity stamped so solidly on my sight that I never lose that. Mm. And I'm always thinking about how Sarah put others first. She put her walk at the foremost with Jesus. And that led her to the servant's life that informed her every waking moment. Mm. And what more can be said at this point? And obviously, I'd love to close in prayer, because I know that that would be honoring to Sarah as well. And I just pray for especially anyone who is tuned in that you're not tuned in for a mistake, that Sarah's life was brief, but that doesn't mean it wasn't meaningful, and that God had said, well done and good and faithful servant, in an amazing short time frame. And we thank you for the life that we are allowed to live. I just thank you for the blessing of today. And I pray that we can be a blessing to others through today, and that we are able to say that every morning. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of today. Thank you for the very breath in my lungs, the very beat of my heart, and that you didn't create anybody as a mistake, and that everybody that we meet, everybody that we see is an eternal being that has an eternity in front of them, and that we have the great privilege and honor to affect that eternity by just being faithful to you. And that's what Sarah was, and I thank you for that legacy of being faithful in the little things. Now you are in charge of great things. And I just pray that we can honor her, and that I, as her husband, can honor her legacy, and that I can leave that legacy for her kids and anyone else that was touched by her. And we thank you for your sovereignty, and we thank you for your goodness. And we thank you that it's not sovereignty without goodness, and it's not goodness without sovereignty. And in Jesus' name, in Jesus' matchless name, amen. I'm not afraid to die.